right. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. That ought to be more precious to us now than it ever has been. And we ought to value what we have at the house of God. I'm like David said when he said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Mark chapter 2 is where you'll find the reading of the scripture. Do want to thank God for the privilege to be here tonight and for the wonderful accommodations. Thank you for that. And most of all for your prayers for us as we prepare our hearts to have a visitation from God. We certainly do need that in this hour. What I can do for you is not going to be very much, but what He can do for you is going to be everything. It's going to mean everything. So we are trusting that He will meet with us every night during these days. I said this often. Dr. J. Harold Smith used to say, the devil's going to be here every night. And if you don't come every night, you're probably sorrier than the devil. Amen. That's right. Help us, Lord. Oh, my. Mark chapter 2. Look down at your Bible. I had a little song on my heart coming in here this afternoon. Today I went back to the place where I used to go. Today I saw that same old crowd I used to know. When they asked me what had happened, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, we don't live here anymore. Thanks to Calvary, I'm not the one I used to be. Thanks to Calvary, things are different than before. While the tears ran down my face, I tried to tell them, thanks to Calvary, we don't come here anymore. Amen. I'm glad I came to the crossroads at Calvary, and God did a wonderful work in my heart. I'm not the same that I used to be. Mark chapter 2, and again I say thank you so much for coming. I know these have been challenging days. The Bible does not say the just shall live by fear. It says the just shall live by faith. And it says it more than one time in the scripture. And so we know how we have to operate in days such as this. You and I have to operate by faith. And the whole Christian life is a life of faith. And I'm not saying not to make precautions. We've done all of that. But there comes a time where you have to put it all in God's hands and just go forward and do what the Lord wants you to do. Mark chapter 2 and verse number 1. And again, which indicates he had been here before in the previous chapter. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. I like what Jesus did when the crowd gathered. He went ahead and preached the word unto them. And they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. When they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. The Bible said in verse 7, Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reason within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. You may be seated. And if you will, while you're taking your seat, We look at that parallel passage in Luke's gospel in Luke chapter 5. I'd like to read just two verses out of this particular chapter, Luke chapter 5 and verse 18. And behold, men brought in a bed, a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. That is, their singular desire was to bring this man and lay him into the presence, in before the presence of Jesus. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. That is, their desire was to bring this man into the presence of Jesus. I want you to notice in your Bible here in Mark chapter 2, the Bible said in verse 4, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Now I want to preach tonight on preparing for a breakthrough. Preparing for a breakthrough. Let's pray. Father, as we bow tonight, God, we certainly do realize how much we need you. Lord, all is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes and allows us to operate in his power. Lord, we're nothing and you're everything. And God, we present ourselves to you tonight as a living sacrifice. God, as a willing vessel, Lord, we've done our best today to seek your face and to meditate over the things that you impressed upon our heart. And Lord, I realize that if you work tonight, you said thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. And I pray that you'd grant tonight that the power of God would rest upon this time that we have together. Allow us, God, Lord, to see the mighty hand of God, not only in the pages of the Bible here, but also in our midst as we gather together. I know these are some desperate and difficult hours, but God, you specialize in breaking through in the midst of chaos and in the midst of the difficulties of society. I'm glad the Bible said that though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. And I pray that you would be pleased in these days to breathe on your people and send revival. Oh God, help us to prepare for it. Now in Jesus' name, amen and amen. As you look at this passage, I'm well aware how familiar it is. And many times I know that when you read a text like this, that sometimes people begin to relax their mind. They feel like they've been over this text so many times that there's probably nothing else they can discover. Well, when you get into the Bible, you'll find out that God has a way of uncovering the most wonderful truths that you can find in the most familiar places in God's holy word. I believe that it's doubtless that this scripture illustrates one of the great needs of this hour, and that you and I certainly do need to see a breakthrough from God. And our country tonight needs a breakthrough from God. That's the greatest need of America tonight, is for you and I to see a breakthrough from God in our country. And so many tonight are interested and concerned about right or left. I'm not really all that concerned about the right wing or the left wing. I'm afraid that these two wings may be flapping on the same bird. I'm more concerned about what is right and what is wrong. That's what we need to be concerned about, what is right and what is wrong. And God is the author of truth, and he can still give America revival. He can still meet with his people. He can still save sinners. He can still send revival. He can still stir the saints of God to action in these last days. He can still answer prayer. He can still do great and mighty things. I'm glad that he can. And I know that our communities tonight might need a breakthrough all across America. I've heard for weeks and weeks about preachers and the difficulty of this hour. Let me remind you tonight that there is still nothing too hard for God. And with God, all things are possible. Oh, you and I may have gotten used to those phrases in the Bible. I want to tell you, our God is not caught off guard by what we've been going through. And the flag in heaven is not flying at half mast. And the angels have not dipped their wings. And God's not wringing his hands. He's very well able tonight to move in the midst of his people. Our churches tonight certainly need a breakthrough from God. Oh, wouldn't it be a great time to see an old-fashioned, heaven-sent, sin-killing, life-changing revival in the house of God. Something that would take place in these last days before Jesus comes. And yet, I'm afraid that so many have settled down into a place of complacency. So much so that we've taken for granted the house of God, the worship of God, and the songs of Zion. And we've become mundane and mediocre. And we've settled back in our spiritual easy chair as if to say, Lord, what really can take place in these days? And many have grown cold, and some have begun to live in a backslidden state in their heart. And we certainly need the Lord to turn on the spiritual defroster and get us where we ought to be. You and I still need a breakthrough from God. Amen. Oh, the Bible teaches us that these here experienced what we could call a breakthrough from the Lord. And it's not time to settle down. It's not time to get complacent. It's not time to say, well, what could really happen in such an hour as we're in? Oh, we need a breakthrough from God, and we need a breakthrough for God. And the sinner man in this instance is benefited by what these saints of God did as they prepared and did everything they could to cooperate to get him into the presence of Jesus. And so the Lord allows us to see the ingredients have a tremendous breakthrough for God, from God, and for the sinner man. You might be surprised. And if you and I don't get to where we ought to be, that sinner man that's out there, it has no hope. They need to see something in you and I. They don't need to see the same hopelessness that's in this world. They don't need to see the same despair that's in this world. Listen, you and I have, thank God, new hope. When we had one day no hope, he gave us new hope. And he's took us from no hope to new hope. And one day we'll experience a blessed hope. And so you and I tonight, we need to see a breakthrough from God. Amen. So when you look down here at these pages in the Bible, there's some saints in this house. In fact, the house filled up to capacity. And the Bible said it was noise that he was in the house. They are there and they are anticipant that the presence of Jesus is going to do something unusual. It reminds me about that little girl that came to church. Somebody in her neighborhood, somebody that was a friend, either brought her on the bus or got her to the house of God. And while she was there, she heard the wonderful story of Jesus and his love. And she took Christ as her Savior. Oh, I say amen to God on that. Oh, it's wonderful to see people saved. And that little girl got saved. She got saved so good. She went home. She said, oh, mama, she said, you've got to come. You've got to come to the church. Said, Jesus is down there. You got to come. Jesus is at our church. She said, what do you mean, honey? She said, you just got to come, mama, because Jesus is there. And after a while, mama went, took that little girl back to church. And she heard the glorious gospel of Christ. And she got born of God. Oh, yes. There's nothing in all the world like seeing someone come to Christ and get saved by the grace of God. And she got saved. And mama got saved. And then the little girl went home. Daddy didn't want to go to church. She climbed up on his lap. She'd say, Daddy, said, please come to church. We want you to come to church, said Jesus. Save me. And he saved mama. And Jesus is at our church. He said, honey, I don't know what you're talking about. She said, just come on down and you'll understand what me and mama have been talking about and about what the Lord has done for us. He saved me and he saved mama. And finally she got him talked in one Sunday to come into the house of God. And they got out of the car and they made their way up the sidewalk and they began to go up the steps to get right there where the front door was. And she turned loose of her daddy's hand and she got right around the back and she put her hands on his backside and she began to push and she began to say, here he is, Jesus. Save him, Lord. Save him like you did me and save him like you did mama. Here he is, Lord. Oh, that you and I will begin to get a hold of such childlike faith that we believe that our Savior can do things such as this and we'll expect a breakthrough from him. Amen. So these are in the house of God and they're expecting the master to operate in his power. And these are there and there's some also that are on the way and they're not by themselves. They had picked up a friend who is on a stretcher or on some type of bed. The Bible calls it a couch. I believe in Luke's text, in Luke chapter 5. And they carried him from wherever he was. And when they got to the house, they brought him in. In fact, they had to climb up on the roof and let him down into the very presence of Jesus. And so in this passage of Scripture, there is the wonderful ingredients of a breakthrough from God. And the first one is the marvel of his presence. The Bible said it was noise that he was in the house. Amen. In this day, we seem to magnify and major on everything but the presence of Jesus. Help us here, Lord. And I get calls all the time. People call the church and they say, well, what kind of programs do you have about this? And very rarely do you have anybody call you up on the phone and say, what kind of Bible do you use down there at the church? Where do you stand on this issue and on that issue? But what you and I should be more concerned about is not the programs we can provide for a lost world, but the presence of Jesus Christ in the house of God. Oh, we might say, preacher, why did Jesus grace this house with his presence? Can I say tonight, I believe that there is here the marvel of his presence because it appears from the near context that when Jesus showed up here, he did so because this is a place where he had been made welcome. Amen. I'm afraid that the stranger in many churches would be the Lord, like in the Laodicean scene in Revelation chapter 3. He's everywhere but where he ought to be. Most of the time on the outside. In this passage of Scripture, the Bible said it was noise that he was in the house. And that's because he had been made welcome there. And it's from what I can tell, every time he went there, he was made welcome. I want to tell you this tonight. If you want him to manifest his presence in the house of God, you've got to make sure that he recognizes it. That you have made him welcome in the house of the Lord. And he's got freedom and liberty and right of way to step in and to take over. I'm glad God can still take over a service. He can take a sermon and turn it into a message. He can take a song and turn it into worship. Hallelujah. He can take a service and turn it into a time where God's people are revived in their hearts. Amen. No, here he is there because he is welcomed in the house. Jesus spent a lot of time at the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus in a place called Bethany. And the only thing I could discover about that was that it was a place where he was made welcome. And oh, I want to tell you, he will and he can and he does show up at places where he has been made welcome. Oh, I'll tell you this. I don't have any desire for some someone to see me. I didn't come tonight to perform. I didn't come tonight to let you know I can preach or to desire somehow to put on a show. Oh, but I come tonight seeking the presence of Him who is the Alpha and the Omega. Thank God who is the lily of the valley and the bright and morning star, who is the everything, who is the one that's altogether lovely. Thank God you and I need Him tonight more than we need another breath of air. We need the presence of Him who fills the house with His power. Amen. In fact, here in this text, He is welcome here. He's been there before. The Bible starts off this chapter, and again, in Mark chapter 1, verse 29, He has been here before. I believe this is the same house. I believe it's Simon Peter's house, Mark 1, 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. They're four men, and the Lord Jesus Christ that come to this house. Peter and Andrew left the synagogue and they brought Him with them. And when they got down there, they brought Jesus to their house. Oh, I'm glad you and I take Him with us everywhere we go. I took Him, hallelujah, all the way from North Carolina and brought Him all the way up here to Kentucky tonight. And thank God I'll take Him back to the hotel room tonight. I'm glad He's with us. Glory to God, He's ever with us. His presence, though sometimes it's manifest and it's welcome. On Sunday morning, He showed up at the Unity Baptist Church and saints got happy and they started to rejoice and testify, and some of them shouted the victory. You say, why? It's because we made sure He realized that He was welcome in the house of God. Amen. Oh, you and I should realize the marvel of His presence and recognize the marvel of His presence. He is here because He knew He was always welcome here. Hallelujah. Now, if you get to the place where you feel like you know how it ought to be done and you got it all figured out, and I know we all have an order of service. I understand that. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when you feel like you can operate and you can just go through the routine and everything's going to be okay. You're going to get in the rut so deep, you're going to feel like somebody's getting ready to throw the dirt on top of your head. Oh, a rut is a grave with both ends knocked out of it. Oh, we don't need to get to the place. We feel like we can come in and we're supposed to be start at a certain time, get out at a certain time. And a lot of churches start at 11 o'clock sharp and end at 12 o'clock dull. And nobody's changed and no power has been exerted and nobody's life has been saved. And nobody's home has been sanctified. And none of us have entered into the holy presence of God. Oh, we need tonight to have the mighty presence, the marvel of His presence. And that's because when we make Him welcome, He'll show up in the house of God. This is a place where He was always welcome. Number two, it's a place where He was asked to work. Here in this house in Mark chapter 1 verse 29 and verse number 30, when they learned, when they got home, that Simon's wife's mother, Peter's mother-in-law, and Peter loved the Lord, he loved his mother-in-law. Y'all didn't get that, that's all right. He began to ask, and they began to ask the Lord. And He came, the Bible said, verse 30, but Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon they tell Him of her. That is, when Jesus got there, they said, Lord, this dear precious lady is sick of a fever, and she needs a touch. And they brought her to Jesus and brought Jesus to her. That's because Jesus is a physician that has never lost a case. Thank God He's a doctor. Thank God if you put your case in His hands, He's never lost a case. And thank God in this passage of Scripture, they ask Him to work. He touched Peter's mother-in-law, and she was healed by the mighty power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wonder what he'd do this week if we started asking him. The Bible said, you and I have not because we ask not. Oh, the Bible said, call unto me, and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Oh, for you and I to get back there in the closet of prayer and say, God, we don't just want to have 5 nights of services. We don't want to have a couple special songs and gather together and ho-hum and head out the door and go back home the same way we come. Oh, God, we're bringing our great need to you, and we desire you to meet with us and do what nobody else can do for us. God, we're asking you to work. And you and I ought to partner with him in faith and ask him to do a work. Many are sick with sin, and only Jesus can cure them. Some are sick with a spiritual cold. In fact, I remember Billy Kelly saying this. He said they had a service one time, and a fella back in the back had a heart attack, and they called 911, and they carried out 4 men before they figured out which one it was. Oh my, you and I that are born again, we ought not to be overcome by the cold atmosphere of this world. We can ask him to work. And many others are brought in this passage of scripture, and the Lord Jesus is working by his mighty power. In Mark chapter 1 and verse 32, and it even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. And as this became a rallying point, because Jesus was present and the marvel of his presence was recognized, they began to bring others to this place. And the whole city, the Bible said, was gathered together about the door. The Lord touched one, and the touch that he gave that one began to spread abroad, and more came, and the diseases were healed. And somebody came down the street and said, did you see that? That man was a leper. He came dragging his leg and carrying his arm, and his eye was drooped over. Oh, but he went down there to the house where Jesus was, and look at him going down the street. He's skipping away, and he's singing a song. It's a leper. Look at what Jesus did. He can take a life that's been broken, and that's been battered, and that's been bruised, and hallelujah, he can restore it again. I'm glad he's still able. I said I'm glad he's still able to work. Amen. Diseases were healed, and many that were sick were healed. And the Bible lets us know that deliverances were given. The scripture said he cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. And the devil was defeated in this place because of the presence of Christ. Let me tell you, honey, you may be facing difficulty. And you may be facing problems. And there may be seemingly the very attack of the enemy on your life. Oh, but I want to tell you, the Bible still says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There is a God who lives on the inside of you that's greater than anything on the outside of you. That's why you and I ought to recognize the marvel of his presence. Hallelujah. Oh, he is here because he's always been welcome here. He is here because he's been asked to work here. Amen. I wonder if our faith is so small that we're not even asking him anymore. Yeah. We're not even asking him over our family that is lost. Yeah. Oh, you say, preacher, I done gave up praying. Well, don't give up. Go up to God and keep calling on his name. Yeah. Keep calling on his name. You'd be amazed at what he can do if you'll just begin to ask him and seek him with all your heart and all your might. Oh, this is a place where not only he was always welcome, he was asked to work. This is a place where he has been allowed to work in their midst. Somebody had to open up their heart, and somebody had to open up their home where he could work. used to be that more homes were open to the working of God than in these days. In fact, I preached the first message I preached outside of my home church where I surrendered on a Wednesday night. And one of the men came to me after I surrendered and after I preached there in the church where I got saved. And he said, Brother Tommy, he said, we're going to have a college prayer meeting. How many of you know what that is? College prayer meeting. And he said, we're going to have folk from the church over to the house. And by the time they got there, there was folks all in all the rooms of that house. And there were people out on the porch. And I preached in the living room with a little podium up there. I preached in a cottage prayer meeting. And then we spread out all over that house. And we began to call on the name of the Lord. Oh, I pray that God would get us back to these old paths again at where Jesus Christ can work. Oh, of the amazing stories of His work and all that He has done. Of the lives He has transformed and of the lives that He has turned in the right direction. If you and I will begin to realize that He is here, He's ready, He's willing, He's able, the marvel of His presence just has to be recognized. Amen. Sometimes I know we come to church and our hearts sadly are full of unbelief and we don't believe He can do anything. And about that time, some precious soul, maybe an old saint of God that's been back in the secret place day by day, about that time they get a hold of something in a song or the preacher gets to preach it and they get a hold of a strand of scripture and God speaks in their heart and a hand will go up in the air and maybe a shout will ring out or an amen will come or if it's like my mother-in-law, they'll stand on their feet and let out an old-fashioned Holy Ghost shout for the glory of God. Oh, I'm telling you, you'll begin to realize that something is taking place in the house of God. Somebody's reached up and they've touched the golden scepter, if they begin to realize and recognize the marvelous presence of the Savior, the Son of God. Amen. Never will forget this. Before Dr. Biddle died, Dr. Milford Biddle died. I remember he and I were talking at the table after we had lunch on one Sunday, and we were talking about this thing of the presence of God. And he looked at me and he said, Brother Tommy, he said, you can experience the presence of God in your church as much as you'll give recognition to it. And that phrase, that statement that he made sunk in deep to my heart. Now I had a hunger in my heart to evermore desire to recognize the presence of the Lord in everything that we do at the house of God. Oh, to recognize Him in the prayer time and to realize that you and I are approaching the throne of grace and mercy. To recognize Him in the song service and to recognize we're offering Him praise and thanksgiving and worship and to recognize Him in the preaching of the Word of God. Oh, if you and I would just get a hold of this tonight and recognize that we need Him. We need Him. We need Him in the house of God. If we need anything, we need the marvel of His magnificent presence. We need the presence of the Son of God. Amen. We need Him in our Sunday school classes. We surely do. And I don't believe Sunday school is a necessary evil. I don't believe that. I believe it's a wonderful time to get around the Word of God and people can get saved in Sunday school. Amen. I know of folks that have gotten saved in Sunday school, in the classes, and got saved. Some of them got saved in the middle of the lesson. In the middle of a lesson about Calvary, raised her hand and do you have a question? Said, no. I understand. I want to get saved. Do you want to wait after the class? No, I want to get saved right now. I want to get saved right now. We need Him in our class. If you're handling the Bible, we need Him in the class. And we need Him in the choir as we sing the songs of Zion. Oh, bless His holy name. He's a Savior that's worthy to be praised. He's one that we can can give Him all the honor and all the glory and all the praise. That is when you and I recognize the marvel of His presence. And I'm afraid that many are strangers to it in the house of God. And I'm afraid that some hearts have become so cold and backslid in their heart that they fail to recognize the presence of the Lord. I was over in Wilkes County last year preaching in a revival meeting, and on Friday night we went out to the fellowship hall to enjoy a good time of fellowship. And a dear man of God came over to the table where I was, and he put his hand on my shoulder. A man who pastored for 54 years in North Carolina. And he said this to me. He said, "Brother Tommy," he said, "if you take the average church member today and think back about where you and I were when we started out, the average church member today would be considered a veritable backslider. Because a lot of them, honestly, they go out into the world and they live like the world and they act like the world and they dress like the world. And when people come into the house of God and they visit the church, they see a totally different person than they see out there in the world. And they don't see the spiritual reality that should be in the life of God's child, who is a peculiar person and a holy individual that lives for God every day of their life. And because of that, the cause of Christ that seems to flounder, because so many today have forgotten how much we need to live that life of reality of His presence from day to day. I'm hung up here, but oh God, help us to realize that the wonderful marvel of the presence of the Savior. Amen. Oh, how we need it tonight. He is there in the marvel of His presence because He's always welcome here. He's there because He's asked to work. And I suppose we are here tonight because we're asking Him to work. We're asking Him to work. And I know that I've not come as far as I need to come with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I have preached in some meetings where I felt like I was preaching to some who had gone as far as they wanted to go. Huh? And I want to tell you, when you get there, you're just dead as a hammer. You're dead as a hammer. And I remember I was in a meeting one night and I was preaching, and a man of God came to the altar and he said this after the service. He said, "Every one of us can take a step closer to God. Every one of us can take a step closer and draw nigh to the Lord so that He might draw nigh to us. Every one of us need to cleanse our hands and purify our hearts and draw closer and closer and nearer and nearer. There's none of us here tonight that have gone as far as we need to go with Him." Amen. Oh, you and I should recognize He's here in His mighty and marvelous presence. And there, this place where He's at. Now, I don't know what kind of house it was. I don't know if it was a big house or a small house. I don't really think He was concerned about the size of it. In the religious world today, He can take care of that child. Just look right up here. I don't think the Lord was concerned about how big the house was. I don't think He was concerned about how fine it was. I think He's more concerned about whether those inside really wanted Him there and were seeking for Him to work. And you and I ought to also recognize this house was such a special place. I don't think it had stained glass windows. Probably didn't have all the finery that we have today. Now, I'm not against any of that. I'm not mocking it. I'm not downplaying that. Not at all. I'm simply saying that He was not at all affected by any of those factors.
That's right.
But let me show you something else that happens here in this house. This house was what it was because He was always welcome there. Because He was asked to work there. Because He was allowed to work there. I wonder if we'd allow the Lord to work. And then it was what it was because He was able to deliver the Word of God. The Bible said when it mentions here his presence, it was noise that he was in the house. And the scripture said, and straightway many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. You know why he was so welcomed at this house? Because he was able to preach the word of God there. I wonder what he would do or he would be allowed to do if he came to your house. Would you want him to preach to you? Would you want him to? Now you might say, oh yes. And then when those thoughts arise in your heart, like come up a while ago, and you said, boy, he sure is loud. And he looked at you and said, why do these thoughts arise in your heart? Oh, this man knows a lot more than I thought he knew. But I believe if they come to our house, we ought to say, Lord, would you just preach to us a little while?
Amen.
Would you give us something for our hearts?
Yes, sir.
Give us something, Lord, for our hearts. We really need to hear something from you.
Yes, we do.
Amen. Lord, we've been reading your word. We've been trying to heed your word, but we really just need you to give us something for our hearts. Lord, we need something, Lord. And it's remarkable that the living word is able to take the written word and work on hearts.
Amen.
I wonder if we'll allow him to do that in these days together. The living word. Take the written word and deal with our hearts. You know, it makes a real big difference when you come to church and you're hungry. And I'm on the first point tonight. I don't know how much longer I'll go, but I'm on the first point. Remember hearing Lester Roloff say years ago, his mama handed him a little bit of money and said, now, you go down there to the store and you get these two or three little old things. She said, now, don't fill up on a bunch of junk down at the store. Said, I got supper on the stove and I'm going to feed you when you get back. I'll have it all done. So he said, I didn't listen to mom. I ran down to the store and said, I bought those things that she gave me money for, and I took some of my money and I bought some candy and some things like that. And he said, I filled up on that candy and that junk like she said for me not to do. So I got back to the house and sit down at the table, and she set down a wonderful meal in front of me, and he said, I picked over it and said, Mama stopped in the middle of the meal. And she said, Lester, what's wrong with you? He mumbled something. She said, you're full of junk, aren't you? You're full of junk. That's why you're not hungry. Because you're full of junk. And a lot of times the reason why we're not hungry for the Lord to speak to us is because our hearts are full of junk. In fact, even the illustration in this passage is they had to uncover some things so they could get this man to Jesus. They had to pull off the tiling and uncover the roof and uncover some things. And some things had to be broken up. And a lot of times hearts have to be broken, and Jesus has to preach to us at the very point where we're living at to get us to the place where we'll be ready to hear the Word of God and experience the breakthrough of His power. Oh, that God would do it again, that you and I would experience the marvel of His presence. No, I really believe tonight, if you and I get thoroughly honest with Him tonight, He'd say, well, when are you going to deal with this junk in your heart? When are you going to pull off these scales that you've got things covered underneath? And a lot of church folks are not necessarily out in deep sin, but they've let their heart get full of a bunch of junk.
That's right.
And the marvelous of His presence has begun to fade in their mind. They come to church, and if you're not careful, you'll come to church and you'll say, well, you know, the choir just ain't really singing like they used to. And it's really not the choir's fault. And you'll start evil eyeing the preacher. Well, you know, he didn't preach like he used to. And them special songs, no, just don't touch my heart. Well, it's not that they don't touch the heart. It's just you got so much junk on top of it. can't reach to it. It's not that the preacher's not preaching to you. He is. It's just you turn the light off before he gets down there where the problem really is. A lot of us here tonight really do need to get back to the marvel of his presence. And to recognize again that he longs to meet with us. When I consider this, I really believe this with all my heart. I've seen this happen many, many times. I've seen sometimes even what you would say, or they're the best of the best, the cream of the crop. And you see them and they're the first ones in the altar. And they might even be the first one to stand up and say, "Preacher, I just need to ask the Lord to forgive me. My heart sure has been cold." I was in a meeting here just a few years ago and something happened in that meeting. Hasn't happened in years. Every single night, somebody in the church got right with God publicly. Every single night, somebody stood in that church and said, "Pastor, I've got to apologize to you. I've got to apologize to my church. I've had this in my heart and I want to get my heart thoroughly right. I want the church to forgive me. God has forgiven me. I've gotten it right with him. I want revival in my heart. I want to get right with God." Amen. Amen. You and I, boy, you'd be amazed at what God would do. You would be amazed at what God would do. If you and I begin to cleanse our hands and purify our hearts, get our heart, and then the marvel of his presence begin to manifest itself in the midst of us again. And Jesus preached the word. We know this was a special house because he's welcome, because he's working, and because the word of God is able to be preached there.
Amen.
Now, preaching is such a wonderful thing. But preaching is not what it ought to be when hearts are hardened and cold before God. It makes a big difference when hearts are humble and warm and welcoming towards the Word of God. Makes a big difference. Makes a big difference. Now, it really doesn't matter the size of the church to me. It does matter, though, about how they receive the Word of God. That makes a big difference. I've been in places, honestly, that you could put those few back halls in and saw the power of God move in such a mighty way, have people saved and God's people revived, that great things take place because they understood something about the marvel of His presence. That they came hungry to hear the Word of God. I'll tell you, it'll make a big difference. And honestly, I really don't believe the Lord wants me to preach the rest of this, what He gave me in this outline, but I want to tell you this. I really believe if we come this week, and I know we've been through some difficult days with all this quarantine virus and all these things going on in our communities, but I want to tell you this, there will never be a place in the world like the house of God. Never. And there at the house of God, you're going to get things that you can't get anywhere else. That's the way God designed it. That's why He said for you and I to meet here together. Oh, God meets with His people and He helps us. Psalm 20 verse 2 said, He would send you help from the sanctuary.
Amen.
And I want to tell you this, He'll do it through the preached word of God.
Amen.
I have been in places where singing was very welcome. In preaching time, they sit around like a bunch of brats who just got their butt spanking. Huh? When the Word of God is welcome and the presence of God is recognized, God can do great and mighty things.
Amen.
Let's stand with our heads bowed tonight. I want to implore you tonight to come to this altar. I know you can pray in your pew. I know you can talk to God where you are. But God bless you, sir. As a manner of drawing near to God, I want to implore you. That's right. God bless you, young man. I want to implore you to come to this altar. Say, Lord, I want you to uncover anything in my heart that's going to keep me from getting closer to you this week. Lord, I want you to uncover in my life if there's some secret resentment, if there's some secret divisive sin, if there's some little fox that's spoiling the vine, I'm going to ask you to come. Just as a manner of drawing near to God at the altar. In the Scripture, the altar is a meeting place with God. I'm going to implore you to come. That's right. God bless you. There are others tonight that will come. Whatever you do for an invitation, just do that. I won't direct you. Just do whatever you do as far as music with that. People are already coming and getting around the altar. You say, preacher, what could it possibly be? I guarantee you, if you get down to this altar, you begin to talk to God, He'll put His finger on it almost immediately.